this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Word of the Lord.
Thank you, Diane. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would plant your word in our hearts this day, that it may bear fruit for the sake of your kingdom's work and for the glory of your name. Amen. A man had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital. Visitors were discouraged because he wasn't to get very excited. While in the hospital, a rich uncle died and left him $1 million, so his family wondered how they could break the news to him gently, so they decided that they would ask their pastor to deliver the message to the man in the hospital. The pastor went and gradually led up to a question. He asked the patient, "What would you do if you inherited $1 million? And the man in the hospital bed said, "Why, I think I would give it all to the church." The pastor wound up in the bed next to him after his heart attack. Today we begin a 3-sermon series on giving. We're looking at what God says about giving because it's an important subject, not for the church budget, but for every Christian soul, for every Christian's discipleship, for every Christian's worship of God. The Bible has a lot to say about money. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 1 of every 6 verses deals with money. Of the 29 parables Christ told, 16 deal with a person and their possessions. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, which Diane just read for us, we learn 3 things. First, giving is rooted in God's love. It says in verse 7 that people should give not because they have to give, but because they want to give. God loves a cheerful giver. Again, the purpose of giving is to remind us of God's love. We give to God out of the abundance that God has given to us. And our giving is a recognition of God's generosity and faithfulness to each one of us. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. What we do for the Lord flows out of our love for Him. It's an extension of who we are. What I think turns people off about giving is the idea that tithing is a command from the Bible. And yeah, it's there in the Old Testament. God asks us to do this, however, again, not out of duty, but out of love. In the Old Testament, there were not only tithes, there were offerings. And the offerings were what people gave after the tithe out of their love for God. They loved God so much, they gave the tithe plus an offering, which is why we say those 2 words each time we receive an offering here at Kenmare. The word offer is the essence of worship. We offer our lives to God. There is no other area of life where we can do this in such a concrete manner as with our financial gifts to God. Rick Warren says, without even knowing you, if you were to show me your bank statement and you were to show me your calendar, I could tell you right now what you love because the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money shows what you love the most. The second thing that we learn from the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians is giving supplies God's blessings. Verse 10 reads, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. The Greek word for supply, I learned this week, can be better understood with an adverb preceding it. Like if we were to add lavishly supplies or richly supplies. That is the way in which God supplies. Lavishly and richly. And indeed, I've found that to be true. The apostle says that your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So let's all understand that what Paul is saying is that our generosity results in blessings. Blessings from God. Give and it will be given to you, Jesus said. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured to you. Studies have shown that most churchgoers in North America give about 1.5 to 2.5% of their income to the church. That means, I think, there are a lot of people missing out on blessings, on knowing the blessing of giving freely and generously. One businessman who was very, very generous and very, very wealthy was asked how he did it, and his answer was, oh, I shovel it out and God shovels it in, only the Lord has a bigger shovel. Not long ago, the magazine Christianity Today had an article about a movement called the 90-Day Challenge that is happening in North America. And what it is different churches ask people to sign up with a commitment to give a tithe, a real 10%, because, as I said, most people give much lower than that, 1, 2, 3%. And they were to do this based on what the Bible teaches on giving. It was kind of a customers' satisfaction guaranteed offer for church donors. New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina, did the challenge, and the pastor there says that 7,000 participants took the challenge. It's just a little bigger church than we are. 7,000 people took the challenge. And the challenge included that if it didn't go well for them, they could get their money back. How about that offer? We're not making that offer here this morning, just so to make that clear. But he's also reported that less than 1% of those 7,000 people wanted their money back. Less than 1%. The only question I'm asking you today is, do you believe in supplication? Do you believe that God supplies us with everything that we need the more we give? I do. And the third thing the apostle says is giving results in God's kingdom advancing. The service that you perform is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I like that. I like the fact that all we have to do is give a gift and there is evidence of God's kingdom as a result. I think that's a great deal. I think that's a wonderful thing. It's evidence that our faith is resulting in God's kingdom moving forward. We've talked about why we give, and the Bible's pretty clear on that, what should motivate us. But let's talk for a moment about how we give. One of the challenges that many churches have these days is creating an opportunity to give. And I have a mailbox, and I have a telephone, and I have a computer, so I know how many charities contact us for our gifts to them. I'm just like you. I know that once you get on their list, you hear from them forever. The church, however, Kenmar, does not have a marketing department. So we don't do that. We aren't sending you emails. We aren't making phone calls to your house at dinner time. We are not sending junk mail to you. Instead, what we ask that is that when you come here to worship, there is a time in the service for what is called the offering. And you have the opportunity to participate in that offering. Our treasurer tells me that it helps to have your name or your offering envelope number somewhere there so she can keep record of your gifts. And then if you want, you'll be issued a statement at the end of the year, and if you itemize your deductions, you can save some taxes and give us even more next year, if you like. Another way to give is through electronic transfer. Our finance team set this up some time back, and a growing number of people are taking advantage of this. If you go to our church website on the homepage, there is a Give Now button there. When you click on that, you're directed to a secure page at the Mission Exchange of the Presbyterian Foundation, and you can donate to Kenmar United Presbyterian Church that way. Again, more and more people are doing that. You can have transfers from your checking account. You can use a credit card, and it's a really easy way to give. That's some of the how-to. Here's another story of how-to that I'll close with. I heard Tony Campolo about a month ago when I was at a conference and got to talking with him about the first time I heard him speak when I was a college freshman at Messiah College. And we were talking about how long ago that had been, a long time. In any case, he once was at a women's conference and was the speaker there, and the leader of the conference had read a moving letter from a missionary asking for $2,000. So before Tony spoke, the leader of the conference said, "Mr. Campolo, would you pray for this missionary and for his $2,000 need?" And Tony Campolo's, you know, rather blunt, so he said, "No. No, I won't." And she was taken back, and he says, "Well, that's because the money this missionary needs is already here. God has already provided for this missionary." "I beg your pardon," she said. He said, "Well, I'm going to take all the cash in my pocket and put it on this table right here, and I want you to do the same thing, and we'll ask all 300-plus women in the room to do the very same thing." And they did. And once all of them had filed past the table, they had much, much more than $2,000, of course. Campolo said, "Now here's the lesson. God always supplies our needs, and he has supplied for this missionary too. The only problem is we were going to keep it for ourselves. Let's pray and give thanks to God for his provision." Dear friends, God provides, God supplies, God is good. Amen. Please stand.